The latest from the ground in Rafah is a continuing humanitarian catastrophe. And we've got to remember that the pictures and the data that are shared in terms of the numbers of people impacted, the numbers of people being killed, every single one of those is a story. Every single one of those was a life. Every single one of those is connected with many other Gazans as well. And the issue that we have as well, aside from the humanitarian catastrophe right now, is of course that the compounding nature of this. Every single day that this continues, the suffering gets worse. Even today, we've seen reports of a woman who was killed in an Israeli airstrike, and Gazan doctors, heroic doctors in Gaza, were able to save the life of the baby from the womb of the mother as she passed away from the head injury she'd sustained. And this emergency cesarean section, which was delivered at a hospital in Rafah, ensured that the baby's life could continue. But sadly, the mother, Sabrine Al-Sakani, who was 30 weeks pregnant, lost her life, was killed through her injury sustained by this airstrike. So this is just one story where the impact has multiple effects and a compounding effects. And again, for UNFPA, our concerns are deeply with the pregnant women and the babies who are suffering very most at the moment.
Well, of course, very understandable. Can you tell us what will happen to this child now, Dominic?
Well, we understand that she was delivered via emergency cesarean section at a hospital, the Kuwaiti Hospital in Rafah, and has since been transferred and is now, as of yesterday, in a Emirati hospital, a hospital that UNFPA has been supporting together with UN and other health partners since the start of this crisis, because the Emirati hospital in the middle of Rafah is a lifeline for pregnant women, new mothers, and new babies. So this baby is right now in an incubator in the neonatal unit of this Emirati hospital. And indeed, when we think about the situation in Rafah, our concerns lie with the healthcare system. It's hanging by a thread. There are only three partially functioning hospitals which are supporting maternity care. This is the Emirati Hospital in Rafah, the Al Auda Hospital in the middle area, and the Sahaba Hospital in the north. There are other parts of the healthcare system supporting maternal healthcare, but these are the three main referral hospitals. And our deep worry, I left Gaza last, came back to Jerusalem this weekend, and I am terrified for what may happen in the military incursion, which is being discussed in Rafah, and what will happen to the Emirati Hospital, currently supporting 50 to 60 births every single day, cesarean sections, and also a neonatal unit supporting and ensuring that life is sustained for these babies that are being born in tragic circumstances.
That is a devastating picture in the south for healthcare, for young mothers and pregnant women. But Dominic, can you tell us what is happening in the middle of Gaza? What is happening in the north?
The big headlines over the last month or so have been around the IPC report and the looming famine in Gaza, and especially in the middle and north areas of Gaza. And whilst that is a huge, huge concern for UNFPA, our zeroing in focus there is for the pregnant and lactating women who have higher caloric nutrition hydration needs. So when there isn't sufficient nutrition supplements and nutrition items to complement food and calorie intakes, it means that the pregnant and lactating women who have those higher needs aren't able to support the lives that are dependent upon them, whether they be in the womb or via lactation. So what we are hearing and seeing, indeed, from the doctors on the ground, from the medical director of the Emirati Hospital in the south, he said very starkly to us, they do not see any normal-sized babies being born in Rafah. But overall as well, one big takeaway from everybody you meet with in Gaza when there is the overall despair and fear. This is where fear remains ever-present across the whole of Gaza, not only for the military incursion in Rafah, which would compound this humanitarian catastrophe, but fear about what could come next. When we've heard from pregnant women in the north and middle areas, they're fearful of what may come, where they're carrying their babies now, where are they going to give birth to them? Who can assure them that the healthcare system, which has been decimated over these last 6.5, 7 months now, what will remain? Will the doctors be there? Will the midwives who are doing heroic work on the ground, will they be able to support them?
So tell us, how is the UN Sexual and Reproductive Agency, UNFPA, managing to help pregnant and breastfeeding mothers now amid all this destruction?
For UNFPA, our big concern is the 1 million women and girls in Gaza, 650,000 at reproductive age who have menstrual hygiene management needs, And then, as we've talked about since the start of this conflict, our concerns lie deeply with the 180 women giving birth every day. Now, what's UNFPA doing to respond? We're part of a UN and humanitarian response. For UNFPA, our concern has been about, first of all, supporting the existing healthcare system. How can we support the heroic Gazan doctors and midwives who have been on the ground, who have been displaced, who are also hungry, thirsty, living in fear, caring for their families? So our first concern has been around how to support and bolster the healthcare system. And that's meant for UNFPA, since the start of this crisis, we have been very consistent in getting healthcare, reproductive healthcare supplies into Gaza. And those can include from very basic safe delivery kits to enable a woman to give birth in the most dire of conditions, but in a shelter, if she's unable to reach the healthcare system, the hospitals, or a doctor or a midwife, all the way up to providing the instruments, the medicines that will enable a safe birth, but especially for those who are at greater risk of complications. So UNFPA has been focused also on supporting emergency obstetric care, comprehensive and basic emergency obstetric care, getting those supplies in. Finally, the thing that we've done in this last week, and we have hopefully more of this in the next week, we've actually given the healthcare system and hospitals and birthing facilities have been decimated. We've gotten in mobile maternity units. Just this week, with our partner on the ground, IMC, the IMC Field Hospital in Rafah, UNFPA has deployed a 40-foot, almost a containerized mobile piece of a field hospital, which has an operating theater for emergency cesarean sections and also a delivery room. And we will be hopefully getting more of those in as a temporary feature. But we shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have to deploy field hospitals. We shouldn't have to deploy these mobile maternity units, field hospital units, because the hospitals and healthcare system should be protected under international humanitarian law.
And just on the destruction of healthcare, remind us what you found on your latest assessment missions in Gaza.
Well, together with the World Health Organization, OCHA and UNRWA, UNFPA undertook a number of missions into Khan Yunis and into Gaza City in the last 10 days to look at the healthcare system, look at those hospitals. What really stuck out to me was when we visited Khan Yunis, the Nasser Medical Complex, a hospital that UNFPA and partners have been supporting for many years in building the capacity for maternity care. There's a specific maternity and neonatal building. And having visited there many times before the war and actually since, it was heartbreaking to see the carcass of this building, a building which should be supporting giving life, but right now stands eerily empty. But more than that, when we went inside and looked at the status of the facilities, we found machines, ultrasounds, and other medical equipment which have been damaged beyond repair. Ultrasounds, for instance, that have had cables cut, screens, digital screens that have been smashed, which will obviously render them useless as a piece of a medical equipment. So we're going to have to work urgently to replace that medical equipment. And the impact is going to be ultimately in the short term on those pregnant women, those newborns, and those new mothers, because they're unable to reach the level of access to healthcare which they should be afforded. So we are deeply worried about, first of all, getting the systems back online to ensure that life-saving support for pregnant women can be assured. But then secondly, looking towards what's next and trying to replace these heartbreakingly damaged equipment.
Finally, Dominic, you've been into Gaza many times. People always want to know how much aid is actually getting through. What are you seeing?
Well, what I saw with my own eyes this last 10 days that I was in Gaza, and having been there last month and in January, and I'll be going back again soon to be with the UNFPA team on the ground, I can only describe it as right now a humanitarian hellscape. There is a way to stop Gaza from plunging further into this abyss, and there must be a massive influx of aid trucks and the ability not only to get those aid and assistance into Gaza, but be able to distribute and get the assistance to where it's needed safely to all of the Gazans in need. And coupled with that, the first thing that the United Nations, from the Secretary General, all of the agencies, but also importantly for me, the heroic doctors and midwives and others that I spoke to, everyone there is calling for a humanitarian ceasefire, for that respite, to be able to move safely, to be able to access this assistance. There is a huge amount of assistance sitting outside. When I moved into and traveled into and out of Rafah, you see the lines of trucks. So there is a need, as I said, for a massive influx and scaling up of getting the assistance in and being able to move safely and deliver that assistance at scale inside Gaza.